You're listening to the Primitive Intelligence Podcast, episode 4.
Episode 4.
Yay.
Woohoo.
But it's actually Stacy's back. It's actually the fifth episode because we had a bonus episode because we were like a couple of old biddies last week who could not shut up.
That's Kurt.
Yes, I'm Kurt and...
I'm Rocco.
That's Rocco.
And that's Stacy.
Hi.
She's drinking her wine.
I am.
So we were just, as we started to record, Rocco was talking about how he at some point is going to need a man's ear.
I don't know how that came up. I believe it was the reference to Family Guy when Peter made some reference about fried eggs hanging on nails.
Yeah.
And you know what?
It's pretty
you never know.
It's inevitable.
It's gonna I'm happen. A big guy. They might get like fried eggs.
See, and people would know scary. That if you actually put up a bio.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which would be nice.
Well, I should.
You should. You really should. I mean, it's been like...
How long has it been?
Well, 5 episodes worth.
Folks, it's been a very blurry month or two. Work has been fucking hell. Not bad fucking hell. Busy fucking hell. There's a difference where it's not like, I want to quit my job. It's like, what day is it? That's the kind of...
It's still not
good. Yeah, I get that feeling a lot at my job. I walk and I'm like, what day is today?
I've conquered it, though. See, I was getting my ass kicked by the work and stress. Or no, I was stressing myself about work. That's a better way to put it. So I decided, don't be a bitch, I guess is the best way to put it. So I decided to conquer it by rising above it and kicking its ass.
Yeah.
So I've actually have a whole different point of view at this point because I've been... working my ass off, not in a bad way, just trying to amp up my level of focus.
Amping up, huh?
I am, man. Yeah. That's not yeah. business language. Yeah. No, I've been. There's no other way to say it that's not gay anymore. Sorry for everybody who's gay, but there's no way to say it without sounding lame. It's I've been just kind of torquing it up. And trying to see, I told you,
torquing it up.
I've been turning it up a notch.
Boom, turn it up a notch.
I've been hitting it harder. Yes, take it to the limit.
Yeah, Rocco, we're gonna need you to turn it up a notch. Okay,
I would actually appreciate it. If someone showed up at my desk and said, we're going to need you to turn it up a notch, I would awesome. Say, you know what? Okay.
Let me do that for you. I'll get right on that.
I'll get
amped.
I'll get it. Do the whole, back in the 80s, when like the wrestlers used to like slap their arms. Like,
yeah.
Like Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was I was doing a cable job, and he's...
For Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
Yes, an actual Hacksaw Jim Duggan reference. We were at this house, and it was like... There had to be 17 people in this house. It was extremely loud. And we were putting in... it was like 6 TVs, right? Or not TVs, but activating 6 TVs. They turn on every single TV in this building to wrestling. And it was like some like flashback episode that they were doing. Like they were bringing back... Like all the old wrestlers, and out comes Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Wait, I'm going to pause right there for a second. So everybody in the building,
mm-hmm.
they all know each other.
Mm-hmm.
They all have the same interests,
mm-hmm.
and they all turn on wrestling at the same time.
Yes. Well, it was a family. They all lived together. It was a family.
Oh, I thought it was like an apartment building. I'm sorry.
No.
That would have been more awesome.
That would have been creepy.
If it was an entire apartment building with their doors open.
And just wrestling.
And wrestling.
Yeah. Well, it might as well have been.
I'd have to show up with, you know.
It was like 3 floors. They all had their TVs on, all watching this wrestling program, but none of them were in front of their TVs. They're all downstairs in front of the main TV. But all their TVs are on. And they're like wrestling each other and...
Oh, that's not right.
It was bizarre. Spooky.
Listen, no one should ever wrestle anybody unless it's going to lead to sex.
Well, they were kind of creepy.
That's what I'm saying.
It might have.
What's what?
Yeah.
Does wrestling lead to sex?
No.
Just as a woman.
I've never wrestled anybody.
So cold, I'm probably
Listen,
not gonna...
I've never wrestled anyone. I've known some guys that I think may have, you know, wanted to wrestle other guys with like death metal on and some porn in the background.
Oh, yeah, that absolutely happened.
But what I'm saying is that if you're around a woman and you're going to wrestle with her, even play wrestle, you want to sleep with her.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So if you're talking about a family, that's weird.
Yeah, he, the dude, I forget what the move is called, like pulled her arms up and like slammed her face into the ground, like his daughter. He's like, oh, bam! I'm like, are you serious? Did that just happen? Do I need to call like protective custody or something? Child, whatever they call that, child services?
It takes a lot of people to run the world.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Huh? People think you guys are weird, though. So.
Well,
we are.
Yeah. No.
But we're
not normal.
We're I guess we're interesting because we're not weird in the normal way.
We're normal in the weird way,
I guess. Uh-huh.
But I'll have to work on that one.
You know, if we were sitting here, you know, screaming about the Phillies or football or some shit like that, I guess we'd be more normal.
I guess.
I did have an apartment over. Wow, God, I was in my 20s, and he seemed old, so he might have been in his 50s or 60s. And this guy loved the Phillies. I have no problem with sports at all. But this man would scream at the top of his lungs to the point where it would wake me out of a dead sleep. I'd be sleeping. It could be midnight. And I'm talking in my 20s, so I might have been out drinking. Passed out. And he'd still wake me up screaming at the TV about the Phillies.
About the Phillies.
And that was actually, that experience of living there was one of the moments in my life where I went, okay, I like sports. You know, I follow, not exclusively, but I'll watch sports. I like sports.
And I've never seen you watch sports.
No, I don't. Hmm. Because I got away, not intentionally, well, maybe intentionally, I don't know. But this is one of the moments in my life where I went, you know what? Maybe I'm putting too much emphasis. This might have been about 96 or so.
That's trying to hold
and,
on.
And then I just, after time and time again, with this guy just screaming at his TV about a baseball game, I kind of was sitting there and going, is this what I look like? Is this what I sound like? So, well,
if you've got to ask that question, the answer is usually no.
Well, yes, but that is one of the forks in the road of my life.
Yeah.
Where I'm walking down the road and I'm like, okay, I like this. It's fun. I'm doing this. I enjoy this. It's not a thrill in my life. And then I start seeing these, you know, McDonald's on the left or Burger King on the right. And I'm like, well, I don't want to make a left. I don't want to make a right. I'm going to keep going and see what else is out there. And as I progressed, it kind of just led me away from that, because the more I get away from the, not the sport, but the fan, I kind of have a distaste for the fan.
So you don't watch sports because you don't like the fans?
I don't watch sports anymore because if you like football, mm-hmm. and a lot of people do,
mm-hmm.
you need to know shit. I shouldn't say that. No, take that back.
Oh, yeah, no. You know, a lot of people stuff. Who, they think they know stuff.
Right. You accumulate information. And the more I started going away from it, the more I stopped knowing things. So I'd get into a conversation, somebody would be like, hey, how about this guy? And I'd be like, I don't know who that is. What? What's his stats again? I don't know. And the more time that went on from there, I knew less and less and less. And every conversation that came up, I wouldn't even get into the conversation because I didn't know what I was talking about. And I don't want to sound like a poser. So I would just kind of take myself out of it. And so many years down the road, I'm out of it because I took myself out of it because I didn't sound, because I didn't want to sound like a poser.
You could still watch the sports, though, just not talk about them.
I do it once in a while.
Okay. You kind of confused me with the whole McDonald's on the left and Burger King on the right, and then the fans suck. It was a detour. I was not expecting.
My progressional, my imagery of train of thought sometimes is confusing. Let's go ahead, Stacey.
I have a question.
Go ahead. What's your question?
What sport did you watch? Football?
I used to watch all sports. I actually, I used to like baseball a lot.
Oh, so
I loved baseball. On one of my youngest, and this is back, and you're talking high school, college years. I would love to watch baseball, and one of my favorite. I don't know how you say this. If you're talking about imagery and a specific moment, falling asleep on a day, taking a nap, and you have your favorite baseball team on the TV or on the radio, and it just rained outside, and you're sitting there, and you got the rain off the asphalt, and you got baseball on the TV or the radio. Awesome.
Yeah. Right at this moment, I'm wishing that we did commercials, because I'm just picturing this promo for this episode where it's something like
Channel 9,
this next very special episode of Primitive Intelligence Podcast, Rocco reminisces about his childhood.
Yeah, well, that happens a lot, folks.
that'd be great. Just
stay tuned, because in about 5 minutes, I'm going to say some shit about my childhood.
See, my childhood was riddled with obscenities and my father throwing things because Pac-Man would piss him off.
Well, Pac-Man would piss you off.
Yeah. But it shouldn't piss a grown man off that much.
Well, let's see. Well, Pac-Man came out in God knows when.
83, I want to say.
So we were in our over 10 mm-hmm. when it came out. Mm-hmm. And he was 30 years older than you?
Oh, 36. Gotta remember, I'm the youngest out of 7.
So he was older than us.
Yeah.
When Pac-Man came out.
Mm-hmm. And you remember those old-ass Atari controllers that were built to withstand the nuclear holocaust? Mm-hmm. They were, like, super thick plastic, and he would shatter those.
What?
He'd, like, snap the top off it, and he'd be in there. That's where I learned how to swear.
That's when the shit...
Son of a bitch and goose, motherfucking
garbage! That's when this shit was made in America, man.
Yeah. Father from Christmas. Exactly. When I see that, I laugh, because I hear my father going, stuff flying...
Listen, there's only so many people that would know. If you could take those, the rubber off of the joystick
mm-hmm.
and stick them to yourself anywhere, mm-hmm. and it would leave almost like a...
Not a suction cup mark.
A suction cup mark. Yeah, there are only so many people in this world that would recognize that mark.
They look at it and go,
yeah.
You took apart Atari controller.
Atari.
Yeah. I hear they're going out of business for good this time. Like, they're selling all their... rights and patents, and
well, they were kind of really out of business. They were surviving on what, you know,
Pac-Man, Donkey Kong. Well, like no, not even Donkey
T-shirts
Kong.
and things like that.
Yeah, they were licensing out their games to other companies that were porting them over to like Android and Apple and other things. But I guess they finally they're belly up now.
Now I'm starting to wonder what happened to Atari or Teenage Riot. Atari Teenage Riot. I have to say that a couple times.
Atari Teenage Riot?
Remember that band?
I do not.
Yeah.
I do not recognize
it. You keep talking. I'm going to look it up. It was a band, and I remember it.
What sort of music? When?
What did they play?
Apparently, no one knows about me.
I've never heard of them.
No, never heard of Atari Teenage Riot.
Oh, look. All right. Atari Teenage Riot.
Mm-hmm.
Goddamn mobile site. If everyone can listen to me right now, please make your mobile site somewhat like a real site. I would like it. I don't care if anyone else on the planet likes it.
Rocco will love it.
Oh, but I would.
Now I got to check our site, see how the mobile site
looks. No, it works good. I was just checking a second.
Okay.
It's 92 to 2000, and then 2010 to present.
What kind of music is it?
92?
Is it, do they just do like Atari songs?
Hang on.
They do like video game remakes?
It's a German digital hardcore group formed in Berlin in 1992. I guess maybe that's why you guys don't know it.
Could be.
I don't know. You think Atari, you think 80s, early 80s.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking like...
I don't know. I remember it.
They're doing songs about Pac-Man and
Were you like Mrs. that electronica Pac-Man. Kinda what's it called?
trip hop or something?
On the you know what? I'm glad you know.
Is it kind of like the first version of that?
Trip hop. I'm glad you brought that up. Trip hop is a version of the electronica music. I hate saying electronica.
But yet you've said it four times.
It's because my brain is searching for another way to say it. I'm going to say digital music. I don't know why.
Amped.
If anyone else has... I got to torque it up, man. Yeah.
Torqued up dance music.
Trip-hop was this...
They were stepping it up a notch.
At least from when I was listening to it. I haven't probably looked for a new artist in a while. It was actually more like a acoustic, like a not acoustic, but a more instrumental sound mixed with hip hop. So it's really a really interesting kind of genre of music that really doesn't exist anymore.
Exist?
Hang on, I think I turned around.
Okay,
there we go.
Yeah, we should get like a video camera.
No, you don't want that.
Stuff like that.
He just took his tongue.
I took my
So everybody knows that.
That's Stacy. So, no, the trip-hop, I think, Portishead, I think, may have been on the trip-hop kind of an end to it. Remember Portishead?
I do remember Portishead.
Yeah. I love Portishead.
Yeah, about the closest anything like that I would really say I would listen to would be, like, Prodigy. But they weren't really trip-hop.
No, Prodigy is more electronic.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Prodigy.
They were smack the bitch up.
Yeah, they were just crazy.
Just them. Right. I love them.
Everyone, hang on one second. Listen to this.
That little mat does good.
That
was that annoying?
No, my arm was sticking to it. That is actually my quick setup guide to my awesome telescope that I got for Christmas.
Yes, that is that's going badass telescope.
But you were very good.
Yeah, Portishead.
Where did it go?
I dropped it on the floor. Oh, no, the telescope.
Telescope.
It's fucking there.
Oh, okay. It's in the plants. It's a telescope.
I got a lot of plants here. Portishead I loved. I think they're still out there.
I dropped it on the floor. I saw that.
Well, you're like
right here.
You're like, where'd it go?
Well, you talk about your telescope, and I said, that's pretty badass. Where did it go? I dropped it on the floor.
You could laugh whenever you want.
Yeah, you don't have to be quiet.
You're our audience.
I laugh quiet sometimes. Yeah. I just do.
Prodigy.
Get crazy.
So we have food coming, correct?
Yeah, it's... He said, we'll get there when we can.
Oh.
And that was about almost 45 minutes ago, so...
Must be busy.
We got some time.
Well,
it's Friday night. Yeah. It's Friday night at prime time, so we got some time.
They need to amp it up a little bit, get their food.
Jesus Christ. If you can tell me a way to say that that's not lame, God. You know, I...
Yeah, it's true.
Seriously.
It's absolutely true.
I'm going to turn it up a notch. I really don't know how to say that.
Get torqued.
No, there's no way to say it.
There's not.
There's no white guy. There's no white man way to say that. If there's any other way to say it, there might be. I'm getting fired up. That still sounds lame.
Fired up.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like
a rabbit.
Get it done.
Fired up.
It's probably the best way, yeah.
I did my very, very best.
That's creepy. I don't know what you're talking about, but it made me think you're an 11-year-old boy with a hatchet in his hand. I did my very best.
I'm sorry, Daddy. I did my very, very best.
The voices told me.
Let me chop your head off.
Exactly.
I tell you, I want to get those stickers for the back of the envoy.
Oh, shit. We saw that.
With an axe?
No.
Graves?
We saw it was with a mask. And I think it was a chainsaw.
Yeah, chainsaw.
And out.
Yeah.
The day you said that. You said that, we saw it. And there were graves. There was a guy standing
out.
Instead of people, there were graves.
Son
of a bitch.
Everyone out there, I probably have said this, but if you're behind a vehicle and it's got those little people stickers.
Yeah, we've already done this.
Yes, good.
Yeah.
Here's another.
This is the first episode. One of the first things we talk about. Those people need to die.
No, I didn't say that. Well, I just said avoid them.
Yeah, we inferred it.
Yeah, because they're scary.
Yeah, it's like the people that have, you know, my student is a whatever member.
Yeah. My child's an honor roll student at such and such high school.
Right.
Great. I bet you next sticker should say, my child gets his ass kicked every day at such and such high school.
The only way, look, I would accept that if the kid brought that home and the parent went, I'm going to put this on my card because this kid brought it home to me.
Yeah.
But if you're going, happen. I want to find or make a sticker, you're getting into your kid's life a little too much. Let your kid have its own life.
I'm sure the school does give those out. I mean, you just can't go to the store and buy one of those stickers.
Well, yeah, it's 2013.
I mean, you can make one.
Look one up online. You probably can find it right now.
Well, probably.
My mother stuck ours to the fridge.
Wait,
what? She
thought
it was lame to stick them to the car. My sister and
I had bumper stickers?
Yeah, we were always on a roll. You're smart. And my mother took those stickers because they provided them.
Stickers?
Stuck them on the fridge.
No shit.
Bumper stickers. They've been around for a while.
She stuck them on the fridge. She said, no offense.
I was on the honor roll at one point, but I don't remember.
But I'm not putting the shit on my car.
Exactly. Exactly.
But then again, I don't think I would have gotten that on my parents' car, even if they sent one.
Yeah, we didn't put bumper stickers on cars in my family.
No.
The only bumper stickers we got on our car was for, I think, Sunoco, when they were doing some sort of a radio.
Oh, dude, if we see your sticker.
Everyone remember radio?
Yeah.
When we identify your radio, or when we identify your, it was something like they had a number on the sticker. When we take a picture of your bumper sticker, you win something.
How are you supposed to see that on the radio? They take a picture.
Well, I remember there was something about a picture. Maybe it was the newspaper.
Maybe they just call out the number.
It was something.
We're behind sticker number 7521. You just won a gallon of gas.
Listen, at the time I was young and I didn't give a shit, and I even give a shit even more now.
Yeah. I know they still do that.
Or.
I remember it was a 97.9X used to do, if we see your car with our sticker on it, you'd win like a Wendy's prize pack. Like, boy, that's a prize.
Yeah.
But
give me the shits for free.
But awesome. You're talking when you left, that was actually a good station.
Right before I left, they changed. It used to be 93.7, and they were awesome. 93.7 was great. 97.9X was like the shit station, and then they merged, and they just killed 93.7.
That was the last time I heard good music on the radio was that station.
Yeah.
Because you would actually hear new music.
But 92.1 is actually not bad. It's halfway decent. You hear new music. You hear old music that is not overplayed.
Mm-hmm.
It's excellent.
Yeah. 92.1 around here.
That's my second station.
Yeah.
Because if 97.9 kind of fades out.
Just out of old school.
Yeah, because they do.
Still,
they're a little better now than they were. They don't.
Yeah.
They do overplay stuff. But at least it's stuff that I haven't heard.
Yeah.
I think it's called the fuzz.
The fuzz.
Anyone out there
the
who's not from the area. Whatever online program you can find. It's called the Fuzz 92.1. I'm sure they have a stream.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the
or
most...
Or like iHeart or something.
Yeah. It's one of the more recent developments where... recently, in the last year or two, where they...
a lot of commercials,
right,
more music than talk.
They tried to... And I kind of agree with it, and I kind of miss it, where they took the DJ... DJ. Disc jockey.
Yeah.
Out of the equation, and it's only music. So they just have a programmer throwing some music together.
Yeah, it's cheaper. It's cheaper that way.
That's why
they don't have to pay the DJs. And
also,
I think we're about to get a knock on the door.
I think we are, too.
So did I not hear that?
No. I heard it's the microphone. Right.
Oh, hang on a second.
Yeah.
I heard a car door.
Ding dong.
Can you help me? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kicked it old school. No one picks on anybody for saying I hit record just in time for that.
Good. Kicked it old school.
Did you pick that up? Are we recording?
We are recording. Good. I'm pretty sure I got it.
Kicked it old school.
Kicked it old school.
So no one could pick on me for being amped up when she's kicking
it
old school.
Took it to the limit.
Kicking
it old school.
All right, keep talking. Hang on one second. I'm looking for the hole.
Isn't everybody?
Oh, that's a shift. Wow, that's a change. Black Lager from...
Is that the chocolate?
It's a... Well, kind of. Black Lager is kind of a... Yeah, it's a little chocolatey. It's pretty good, though. If you would like one, there's more in there.
Oh, I don't think you would like any kind of beer.
No, but you know what? I keep seeing commercials for... Because I'm like a pussy when it comes to beer.
Third shift.
Ale? Oh.
Oh, yeah, I think you'd
like
a cider.
Woodchuck cider?
Oh,
probably.
Might be.
I'd really like it.
I like woodchuck. I like a cider every now and then.
Yeah.
It's good.
It looks delicious.
Well, it's getting towards summer.
I've been seeing commercials for it. Red's yeah. Apple Ale.
It might be the same company. There's the commercials out there for that Third Shift brewery, and it's Coors. They're trying to compete with the little craft breweries because they're getting their asses kicked.
Excuse Whoa. Me. That was good. Thank
that
you.
Was that Foghorn?
That was Leghorn.
Leghorn.
I see.
Yeah, well, what that was that batch 19 I picked up.
Yeah.
And I took a swig of it, and I'm like, this, mm-hmm. I like it. I took another swig of it, and I'm like, well, you know, this is different. And then I'm like, I know this. I know this
different
taste.
Different but familiar.
Yeah, familiar. And then after I'm sitting there for a while, and I'm like, this, it tastes like a Coors product. And then I started thinking back to the day when it was like, for some reason, I remember Coors, the hell was the name of that? Coors, not Coors Gold.
We were just talking about that,
too. We were just talking about that. Whatever the fuck we were talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, other than Coors. Not it was a Coors product. Beer. Yeah.
The reason I remember that is because at one point when I was in college, they were we had this distributor that was not too far from campus. And
now, for people who aren't in the Northeast, distributors are where you go to buy beer. You can't just buy it in the store like you can anywhere else.
A lot of parts
country.
In the country, you can't. Or you can just buy it at the supermarket.
Oh, you can go to Walmart and, yes. you know.
We have what is more commonly referred to as the state store.
State store.
The state store. Yeah. Because the state owns Runs that it. Shit. I don't know. Yeah. But now they're looking to deregulate that.
Yeah, privatize
whatever.
It.
Yeah, privatize it. But distributor is where you could actually just drive your car into the warehouse and they're like, yeah. I want this case of
cases.
Yeah. I want 24 cases of this. And they're like, all right, pop the trunk, and then you're good.
Yeah, you don't have to get out.
No. Put a keg in your passenger seat, strap mm-hmm. it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Good. Yeah.
Yep.
So when I was in college, we, well, as kids do, we'd be like, look at that poster. Can we get that poster, mister? Who is that? Is that whoever?
She's I'm getting me amped up. Oh
you God. Fucking bastard. You bastard. There's no way to say that. Yeah, you'd go there and you'd be like, look at that blonde chick from the 90s. Yeah. Or actually,
look at that feathered
80s,
hair.
Actually. Yeah. And they'd give you a poster.
And it was shorts that go up past her navel.
So that's where we used to go. And we at one point, we had our where we were living, our whole one wall was just littered with posters. And a couple of those posters were hiding holes in the wall because you wouldn't want anybody showing up for an inspection if you had a big hole in your wall. And anyone out there, that's where the poster comes in handy, yes. even though it's kind of, you know, a little outdated.
Why is that poster only 3 inches yeah. off the floor?
What if you're digging your way to freedom?
Well yeah. you wouldn't put a poster on the floor.
Shawshank Redemption. Seriously. You slap Cal Welsh up there and dig your way to freedom.
Yeah.
You could do that too.
Of course, the big flaw in that is that there would be some kind of current behind that, and that poster would be going, pop, pop, pop. Look like she's belly dancing.
You're thinking, well, you
see, yeah. there's a lot of holes in movies. When you
and
see
and
them.
In the wall with the poster cover.
Yes. Yeah. So but you can't put posters over those holes.
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah.
There you go. Anyway, at the time, they were giving out crap because, as kids, they were giving us crap because they didn't want it.
Of course not. That's
and
why
I
they're
had
giving
a
it away.
Giant, it was like a 3 foot or more inflatable beer bottle that at the time I'm like, this is awesome. I'm going to put this in the window. And it was some.
Did you talk
oh,
like that?
Of course, extra gold. Probably.
You,
that sounded.
Actually,
yeah.
I,
you're like 2 pounds.
No, I tried to grow a mustache. And this is before my facial hair actually grew in. So it looked like. You know, it was like 3 hairs per square inch, and then they were red. I don't know why, but that's, yeah.
Marco, I think maybe you drew on your face.
No, oh I'm growing a mustache. God. I went to an interview with that mustache.
Didn't get the job, did you?
No. Could you tell?
Yeah, they're like, no. This guy can't grow a mustache. We're not hiring him.
Yeah, no, it was
I
funny.
A better
mustache. And we went to some shit down there.
If I tried.
We went to some. It was at the same time there was there was some movie in town, and I don't remember exactly, but there was some caricature. So anyway, I had this one picture of me with this cheesy ass mustache, and they drew a picture of me like at a dock pulling in a fish. And I, all I remember is getting this thing, and I'm like, God, do I look that horrible? Because I had it, they drew it like I had a mullet and this mustache. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Well,
it was the 80s, right?
No, it was probably about 92.
Oh, yeah, 93. You should not have a mullet anymore at that point.
No, I don't think I did have a mullet, but
well, you know, those who have mullets haircut. Don't think they do have mullets.
Yeah. I've seen the pictures. You had a
frullet. A
frullet.
A frullet. Half fro. I got Italian blood, so it was half fro, half mullet, so it was a frullet.
So you looked a little bit like Michael Jackson.
No. Probably more like Daryl Hall, or is it John Oates?
Wow.
John Oates.
With a frullet.
With a frullet. Well, I had a mullet at one point too, but that was, yeah.
You had a mullet too?
Oh, I had hair down to here.
That's his back.
No way.
Yeah, you can't see that. I had hair down to the middle of my back. Yeah.
But he was also in a band.
I was also in a band, and
yeah. Where I was this, you know, kind of dorky kid just going, hey, how you doing? That's probably exactly how he sounded. I'd be like writing poetry going, how you doing? You want to talk about philosophy?
That's funny.
That was probably the truth.
That's why you couldn't be a sports person, because you were an artist at heart. They can't go hand in hand. I don't think they can.
I don't think
you
it's...
You can't be screaming at your television because they...
That's a little weird. That's a little weird. But
be able to create something.
I also think that it's also incredibly weird for the artist to be solely like if I was walking around with like a vest and like a beret on, talking about the existentialism of man as an you know this is what I'm saying. You would also hate me just as much.
Mm-hmm. You do that sometimes though.
I know.
You'll get on those rolls where you're just like...
And I taper back.
Yeah. Not as much as you think.
But that's because I'm awesome. You know, you can only taper back from awesome so much.
Yeah, you can only amp down the awesomeness so much.
I knew you were going to fucking do it. I knew. Fucker.
No, you guys are both art. I would call you guys artsy fartsies, even though you're...
That's what she would call us.
Even though you are not what I see as an artsy fartsy, but
you know we have zero talent.
It's a broad term.
Actually, we have a shitload of talent.
No, it means
we're just not conforming.
Boatload of talent, exactly.
See, a boatload.
A boatload.
Exactly. Writing, singing, playing music.
I don't
it's
sing.
Amazing. It's all good. Music.
Well, you write poetry.
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm.
That I still know lines to, and still That's blows true. My hair back. Honestly.
Where Kurt's like, what the fuck does that mean? You
read
some of my stuff.
I have Kurt's music on my...
Oh, yeah, I put some of your stuff
on
my
iPod I listen to at work.
Yeah.
Really?
Love it.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't, like, put you to sleep?
No.
Most people are like, oh, this is very mellow.
It's been on there. It's been on a permanent thing on my thing, on my iTouch, or not my iTouch, my iPod. For how long now, Rock?
For a while. Years.
Years.
Yeah.
It's in the shuffle.
But you can't really see it in that picture. But that's... I was young there with hair. With long hair.
Let me see.
I can see the hair. It's like black
velvet. And you'd hate me because I'm wearing like the...
Down your back.
Yeah, I'm wearing like the sports hat.
Oh wow.
God. Yeah. Making a model.
Yeah, I'm not...
of a race car.
You're right. Yeah, so you had a mullet and you were... Making a NASCAR.
Well, no, that wasn't a mullet at that point. That was just long hair, but...
And it wasn't even NASCAR? Was it NASCAR?
It was a NASCAR model, yeah.
All right.
So you always wrote, and you always...
No.
Played
music no.
And...
I didn't...
No.
I didn't write until I was... It was 1991 or 2, and it was around there somewhere. I should probably look it up. I have it written down somewhere.
Where you just felt the need to get a notebook.
No, I was... I was a moody son of a bitch, as young men about that age are moody. We're just moody, and we're confrontational, and we want people to listen to us, and we want to be right.
My wiener's doing weird things, now I want to fight about it!
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and I remember just being all kinds of displaced. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know who I was. And I sat down, and I remember, well, at the time, this is back when, I mean, I grew up Catholic. And I think I was even either having a conversation with God, or I might have been yelling at God, which is possible either way. And
was he?
No, he wasn't there.
He wasn't talking back?
No, no, he wasn't
talking. I'd ask.
So, and it was probably something like, I want a girlfriend. You know, why am I, like, not having a girlfriend? I'm doing that on purpose.
Okay. Yeah, but it's really loud.
I know. See? And, yeah.
You could just go.
Nah. And,
Your Fabricware only does so much to protect the microphones.
So your frustration turned into
my frustration led to
slapping it on paper.
Honestly, at the time it happened, I was at school, and I'm sitting there in my room, and I was really frustrated and pissed off about something, and it probably had something to do with the fact that I liked somebody and she liked somebody else, or I wanted to do something and I couldn't because something, I don't know. And I remember having
everything's so dramatic.
This moment, and as you know, as a guy in college, I had my partying moments, but I wasn't drinking all the time. So it wasn't like I was drunk. I was just sitting there in my room, and all of a sudden, I'm just like, I just had this. I had the fuck this moment. It was like fuck this, and I just grabbed a piece of paper. And I wrote a poem. And I wrote it outright, and I think I made maybe one or two changes. And I got done.
Did you feel better?
Kind of. Because I read it, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? Because at the time, I didn't go, and I wasn't literature. I didn't do anything with poetry. I was business. I was business since I was high school, so I took, you know, typing and computer that this and that matter. And this, all this kind of crap. But at the time, I didn't know. So I wrote it, and I sat back, and I looked at it, and I'm like, that's good. But I'm like, I don't know if that's good. And that's where things kind of switched. That's one of the switches for me. Where at the point, I'm like, I now understand that people tell you things, and they lead you in a direction, but sometimes what you have inside of you is more powerful than anything anyone could ever offer. And that's one of those moments. It was either the fall of 92 or the fall of 93, one of those. Shadows of the Mind. If I ever get published, read it.
On the next very special episode of Primitive Intelligence Podcast.
Do, 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 do.
Rocco. Discovers his fuck this moment.
Do, 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 do. Do, you know, I can't do Sad Hulk music.
I thought about stealing that book and taking it. You know that, right?
You don't have to steal it. I'll just make a copy.
But taking it to somebody.
Well, I've been wanting to publish it for a couple of years, but I just haven't done it.
You know, you can self-publish, right?
Again.
It's easy to do.
Well, yeah. But again, the last 10 years I've been so consumed with trying to pay off school and pay off everything else. Yeah. I've been an asshole to myself.
Well, see, you shouldn't do that.
Now it's time for you.
See, I had that, like, that, you had your fuck you moment. I had that, like, epiphany moment. Like, you hear people say, I had an epiphany. I actually had an epiphany. I was working at Liz Claiborne.
Yeah.
And,
I'm sorry, just, what's that? Would you mind telling me?
What, an epiphany?
Oh, we should, no.
No, what? Where you
Liz Claiborne. Oh, Liz Claiborne. Maybe we should back that up a little bit.
Oh, yeah, Liz Claiborne. Actually, I think they're out of business now. I don't know if you can even buy their women's clothing. Yeah, women's clothing.
Oh, the clothing store?
Well, it was the warehouse.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
One of the main centers in the country for the warehouse.
Okay.
And it sucked. I was like 23, 24 or something like that. And all kinds of crazy crap was going on in my life. And I'm sitting there one day, and all of a sudden, I remember I was trying to get like this order together to ship out, and I stopped and I thought, you know, if I just walked away from my car, because I had like a car payment. This is when I used to actually do like the American thing and have a car that I made payments on, had credit cards that's and did all that crap. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if I just walked away from all that and I went somewhere and I just lived in a tent and I died, the sun would still come up tomorrow.
Yep.
And very few people in the grand scheme of things would even notice I was missing. You know? So why the fuck should I give a shit about all this? Like, you gotta have this, and you gotta do it this way, and you gotta make those people happy. I just went, fuck them.
And there's our existentialism moment.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it was.
The fact that you even had that moment is not a normal thing.
Like, right, most people don't have that. They don't get that moment. They might think it like, oh, fuck it. No, yeah. It was an actual, it stopped me dead in my tracks. Yeah. And it actually changed my outlook on life from that point going forward. And I was just like, oh, fuck that.
The small amount of people who have known me probably have heard me talk about the sleepwalkers.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I love that analogy.
And to me, it's the people. If you're a sleepwalker, you're not going to even understand. And exactly. And it doesn't matter.
And it has nothing to do with actually sleepwalking. It has
nothing to do with sleepwalking. Yeah. But there are some people who have a moment, if you want to call it an epiphany.
And when you wake up.
When you wake up, just have a wine. When you when you're doing whatever you're doing, doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing. There are some times when you're sitting there, and all of a sudden you're like, epiphany is a good word.
Yeah.
Where it's a life changing event where something happens, and it leads back also to my philosophy, where people often use the word chaos indicating something bad.
Right.
But it's not.
Yeah, there's nothing chaos negative about chaos.
Chaos is a good thing.
It's a natural state.
Right. Yeah. And that's where my writings of philosophy often go. A lot of people will have this moment where it's a life-changing event, and they have this moment where all of a sudden they're like, what's going on? What's happening? And from one moment to the next, they might not change completely, but they see things differently.
They see things differently. And that's what happened to me. I just all of a sudden start seeing everything differently.
Use the term artsy-fartsy, but it's not it's lame. It's a lame term, but it's people who are, I don't know, more sensitive and who would actually have that thought, like, this is wrong, but pause and then really understand it and then really change.
Yeah,
most people, like 98% of people,
they never have that moment.
They might have a thought here and there, but they never ever do anything about it, and it's just this vicious cycle.
Well, it's that idea of there's more to life than what you're told life should be.
Yes.
Like, you should...
It's a brilliant way to put it.
Yeah, you're told life should be, you know, grow up, get married, have kids, buy a house, get a car, go in debt, leave your children, everything you
buy a pool.
And then, you know, praise God and then die.
Yes.
But that's not... I mean, there's so much more. Like, when I was in Florida, I realized even more, I am more fully understood, because I saw things that you'd never expect to see growing up here in Pennsylvania. You know,
monkeys on an island.
Monkeys on, not even on an island, just wild in the woods. You know, gators coming up to the kayak. Dolphins. Watching a dolphin hunt. That was my first experience with a wild dolphin, was kayaking in the river and seeing the dolphin fin. And then all of a sudden seeing him swirl, you know, go around in circles, kick the fish up in the air out of the water, and then snag them out of the water, and then go back down. And all I could think was, these aren't cute, cuddly, like, let me go cuddle them and get my picture with them. These things are fucking killers. They're vicious. They will do what they need to do.
But they also came up to your kayak and wanted to say hi.
Yes, I've had them come up to my kayak.
They wanted to communicate with you.
I've had manatees come up to the kayak. I've been rammed by a shark.
Yes.
I've seen stingrays. I've seen, I was maybe 30 feet from a, I guess they call it a pod of manatees that were in I like their.
Wait, oh, you're not talking about dating. I'm sorry.
No, not yet. But like actual real manatees. Like, you know,
yes, I'm sorry.
Like in right off the coast of the beach, right in the water. They were like on the other side of a sandbar, and I would walk down. I think I sent you pictures of them. That's when I still had the razor. And I walked out there with my phone. I was like up to my chest in the water, and I had my phone up, and I was taking pictures of them. And there was like 30 of them, and they were like having like this big mating session. And I'm just like taking pictures.
Hang on.
And
you were just holding the camera. What you're telling me is that you just kind of strolled out into their orgy.
Well, I wasn't in the middle of it. Pictures. I was like 30 feet away. All right. Yeah. Well, I didn't realize what they were doing at first. I'm like, snap, snap, snap. Oh, sorry, guys. I mean, they didn't, you know, they don't know what the hell's going on.
Of course not. They're like, oh, we're being videotaped.
Yeah. They loved it. We're going to be on TV.
But that's awesome. So you don't really see that kind of stuff here unless you're really out there and you come across, you know, some deer.
Right.
Or something even more, but if you're going to – something even more here, you're talking about coyote or fox or even some kind of cat.
Right.
Where you don't want to see them because anything weird is a predator. And if you see them, you're kind of scared.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, there's a lot of things down there that – the perfect example was the they're called sandhill cranes. And they're about 3.5 to 4 feet tall, these birds. And I was out at this place called the – Lake Woodruff National Wildlife Refuge, and it's huge. It's just this huge spot, and there's actual signs when you go in that say, basically, if you get in trouble, I hope your phone gets service because you call 911. There's no one here for you. This is wildlife. You are in their habitat. Don't fuck with these animals. And so I'm out there, and there's these sandhill cranes, and I was just walking, and I saw one kind of peek up over the grass. And they were down the embankment a little bit. And I looked, and there was four of them. There was two adults and two babies. And I say babies. They were still like 2.5 feet tall. And they came up, and they let me follow them. And I've got pictures. I think I showed you the pictures of them. Probably. And I'll post them on with the show notes.
That would actually be really nice.
Of them actually teaching their babies how to hunt insects.
Yes, I remember that.
And they let me, I mean, they were from me to you. No, Stacy's only 3 feet, not even. They walked right by me with their babies, just looking at me like, you're not going to mess with this because we're almost as big as you. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
And I followed them, and they were, you know, they were picking the crickets out of the grass, and they were throwing them to the babies, and the babies are catching them in midair. And they were just like, one went with one parent, one went with the other. And here I am for like 25 minutes just following these birds. And I'm like, this is... Wow. This is the coolest thing, and so many people down there who live in that area, and I guess it's the same anywhere. When you live in an area, you don't go out and do that kind of thing. You don't experience what's actually going on around you, and I watched them for a while, and then I stopped and let them get ahead of me, and I slowly backed away, and I went about my walk, but it was the most amazing thing to sit there and have these wild animals allow me to be that close to them. While they were teaching their babies. So they're not only are they teaching their young how to hunt, but they're teaching their young, you know, don't be afraid.
Yeah.
You know, because you could peck his eye out if he wanted to.
Yeah,
you know?
That's amazing.
It was really cool.
I honestly think that's a brilliant, brilliant point to bring up that, especially for us in America, that we kind of have a tendency to think vacations are somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good to make sure that you bring up that point that you forget about everything you have where you are.
Yeah.
And you always want something else because it's human to want something somewhere else.
Grass is always greener.
Right. But you should really think about what you have right next door.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say right next door, I mean right next door.
Right next door. Yeah, exactly.
There's a block away, there's a diner. Tiny little, I don't want to call it diner.
Been there.
Little breakfast shop that's been sitting there for years. Now, before this, the women that opened up that shop used to work at a place that I used to go to when it was owned by this guy that we went to when I was in the early 90s when I was doing landscaping. Guy owned a pizza place. They worked for him. He closed the place down. They opened up this place. Never been there once.
Never.
All the time. Once a month at least.
Breakfast you'll ever have.
Once a month I go, I should go down there. Yeah. Never do.
Yeah. And you never know. I mean, there's so much that goes on around where you are.
Yes.
Yeah.
That you never really know. And for me, when I moved to Florida, I was down there. It was almost like every day was a vacation for me because I was still, even I was there for 6 years, 6.5 years. It was still, I was finding new things. So it was always really cool. And then I, yeah. you know, when, and now I'm back up here and I'm thinking, you know, I've seen all this before. You know, this has been here before.
You're limited because down there you had all months of the year.
Yeah, it was yeah. a. Yeah.
Where up here you're limited because the winter months you could hike, but you're not, you don't have as many options.
Yeah, but I will go out. I've already been out to like Lake Scranton, and it was cold and snowy and icy, yeah. and I almost you know didn't make it down the trail because there's so much ice on the trail. Getting down to the trail, I just I'll just walk through the woods where there's leaves and it's less icy, you know, but. Yeah, it is harder in a climate where you only get, a couple months of usable time.
I mean, I understand why people go south, you know, because the winters are tough, but they also make you really appreciate the spring.
Oh, I agree with you completely.
And they really, really make you appreciate a summer and a fall. I honestly, to deal with winter, it's beautiful. Aesthetically, it's beautiful.
For you guys out there,
the rest of it is a pain in the ass, but I couldn't imagine being anywhere that did not have four seasons.
I agree.
I could not imagine.
You get over four seasons real quick when it's 12 degrees up here and you're sitting outside on the beach.
But
yeah. I would get bored.
But the feeling.
That.
No, you wouldn't.
I think some people. Well.
Well, yeah, I guess you
either
might.
Either way, here. Right. I think some people can, some people can't. But I think that for those who aren't here, November starts to get cold. December, you're like, okay, this is cold. February or January, you're like, okay, this really sucks. I don't want this anymore. When it comes to February, you're like, oh, why am I still here? But now we're in March, and you have this excitement.
Yeah.
And this like.
I wonder if it was bright and sunny every day, and
you got this excitement, you got this thrill, and you're like, oh my god! Any week now, any weekend, it's going to be so exciting that I could go out and do whatever the hell I want to do. Yeah. And absolutely. That might sound lame.
I never got tired of it. In 6.5 years, I never got tired of waking up and going,
I don't blame you.
I could just go to the beach today, or I could just go for a hike, or I could just go here and go there.
For me, it's more nostalgic, where I'm thinking, it's winter, I'm working, it's dark when you get home. It's dark when you leave, it's dark when you get home. It's kind of a little gloomy, but it's kind of the way you remember it to be. And as a kid, I delivered papers for a bunch of years. That's how it was. So I try to expand my outlook, but it's something that pulls me back.
Yeah.
I would like to do something different, don't get me wrong. If I went out to Nevada or Arizona and I found myself in an environment where you had a forest and a desert, it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, somewhere like that, Arizona, Nevada, where you're only so far, you're like not even a day, 4 hours from skiing or desert or anything.
We want to go there on vacation.
Yeah, you should come with us.
Yeah,
there's actually, our company has a job opening in Nevada. I was just told about it. Yeah, I don't know, I'm thinking about it.
Dude.
One of the supervisors is like, they're looking for supervisors and they're looking for technicians in Nevada. I was
Nevada?
Like,
oh, yeah. What part?
Las Vegas.
Vegas?
Yeah.
Never been there.
I've never been west.
I have cousins out there. So, not Nevada, but not far from Nevada.
Yeah. It depends on how much of a pain the ass it is for me to get my Pennsylvania license back from Florida.
Well,
because I don't know if I want to go through that again.
The more of a question is, can you get your Florida license into a Nevada license?
Probably easier than I get into Pennsylvania. Yeah. If you're moving anywhere and you're thinking about Pennsylvania, don't do it. Really, don't do it. Because, oh my God, I'm having the hardest time getting my license. It's not like I'm new to the state. I was born here. I lived here for most of my life, and I cannot get my license transferred without jumping through flaming hoops of dog shit.
I'm not defending Pennsylvania. I just think it's a Northeast thing. I really think that you just have to do that here.
I guess. In Florida, when I went down there, just like, oh, yeah. You got money? But here you go.
In Florida, you could have a car that was made out of 2x4s and duct tape.
That is true. That is true. That's not even a joke.
So where do you want
to... That's not a joke.
No, it's not a joke.
Not a joke. You can drive anything.
My brothers sent me pictures of cars or trucks that have literally air conditioners in the back window.
Yes. Yeah, air conditioners.
Yeah, air conditioners.
Window-mounted air conditioners. Yes. I've seen that. I've seen
cars driving. It's perfectly legal.
Perfectly legal.
So you got to kind of...
Oh, you built that?
You got to kind of draw a line.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah. There's no inspection. There's no anything like that down there. I've seen cars that were hand-built frame and all, a dune buggy with a keg for a gas tank driving down the street with a license plate.
I don't know if this is a stupid question or not, but is there an overall nationality in Florida? Or
American.
Is this senior citizens who are retired?
No, it's a mix. It's a pretty good mix.
No, I'm saying American because most of the people are American, but you have a lot of Puerto Rican, a lot of Cuban.
Yeah.
Okay, but there's also a lot of...
That's what I was...
A lot of Northeast people migrate to Florida.
Very few people will you talk to in Florida who say, I was born here.
Right.
Because they all flee. They all leave.
But it's not West Coast people. You don't hear a lot of West Coast, right? Am I right?
You'd be surprised.
Really?
Yeah, you'd be surprised. A lot of people are like, oh, I'm from California. I'm like, what the hell are you doing here?
No, I think Miami, it sprung up. It's not now. I'm not saying nothing about Miami. But it's sprung up because a lot of the drug trade, they were trying to launder the money. So a lot of the banks grew, and a lot of that business grew from that kind of an atmosphere. But I don't know
I don't know enough about Miami. Never been there. I had a few people ask me, you want to go down to Miami? I was like, no. You want to go down to the swamps down there?
No.
I'll go to the swamps, but I won't go to Miami.
You think Miami.
I think Miami Vice.
Nonstop, on the beach.
Yeah.
What's that movie with the movie you love?
Scarface.
That's the movie.
Yeah,
that's I'm probably Miami. Tainted because of that movie.
But I don't think it's far off.
They're in Miami, aren't they?
Yeah. I don't think it's far off. There's a lot of money down there. There's a lot of people with a lot of money who don't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a boat that's over 35 feet, you should not be living in Miami. Because you'll get laughed right out of the town.
There's also a lot of money everywhere. For anyone out there who...
You'd be surprised. There's a lot of money everywhere. In Miami.
There are certain people that have money that you couldn't dream of, and they might look just like you standing in line next to you.
Miami's different because they have money and they let you know it.
Right.
Yeah.
Where around here, honest to God, you could be behind somebody in, just a normal vehicle. Might be nice.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not flashy.
Yeah.
You're not talking about a Cadillac or anything crazy. You're not talking about a Benz. You're not talking about anything
nice gets destroyed on these shitty roads.
Somebody could be a millionaire or more. They look just like you.
Yeah. Well, I dragged race with Mario Andretti once.
Yes, you. Well, yeah. Tell.
Yeah.
What? When I was a kid, we used to go to Pocono Raceway. When Pocono Raceway used to do Indy races. Not NASCAR races.
Yeah.
So it was all Indy cars. So we'd go there, and I met Mario Andretti and Michael Andretti and Sam Snead and all these guys who were big NASCAR or Indy drivers at the time.
Yeah, cool.
And I actually bumped into him a few times because I knew some people who knew him, and he lived. He had a house down by Lake Wallpaupack at the time. So I didn't know him. Like, I couldn't walk up to him and be like, hey, Mario, how you doing? But he actually would, he'd see me, and he'd be like, hey, he recognized that he knew me. He'd see me around. So I'm going through Mount Pocono one day. I'm leaving work, I think. And I'm at the light. And I'm sitting there, and I look over, and there's Mario Andretti in his Lamborghini or whatever he had at the time. And I look over, and he looks at me, and he just looks, and he's like, just waves. And he points at the light, and he's like,
he won a race. With and, Mario Andretti.
And I'm
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Can I ask you?
Like an escort or something.
did your heart stop?
No. It was kind of normal. Like, I saw him, like, hey, true. I'm like,
you're like, it's on.
We're doing it. So I'm like, yeah. And the light turned green, and before my foot even touched the gas pedal, he was gone. And I could just see him laughing as he's like driving, like, and he's gone. It was great. I'm like, I just raced Mario Andretti. I got my ass kicked. I raced him.
He knew that would make your day.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh yeah, it's great. Yeah, but it was the coolest thing to me was that he looked over and he was like, it wasn't just like somebody was looking at him.
Right. Yeah. Who you were.
Like, oh, I don't know your name, but I've met you before. Yeah. Let's race.
That is awesome. Yeah. That is awesome.
But you also, when you were down in Florida, did you race what's his name's vehicle? Didn't you know somebody from the Allman Brothers?
Oh no, the guy who was the drummer in our band.
Yes.
He grew up with the Allman Brothers. Now I never drove his car. Yes. He kept like dangling. He had a Porsche that SSEC, whatever the sports car, like the 24 Hours of Le Mans. Those cars, he drives one of those. So he's a professional race car driver. And we were
the drummer
at
drummer in your band, or mm-hmm. one of the guys from the Allman Brothers.
The drummer in the band, but he knew the Allman Brothers. Oh, he played with them. He did some touring with them.
Yes,
along with other people. He was a manager for a lot of bands and stuff.
But
like
it's a small world that he also raced.
Yeah,
and that you knew Andretti.
Yeah, and he's like the one day he's like, "Oh, want to borrow my car? I forget where we were. Oh, we were at the 24 Hours.
Porsche?
Yeah, we're at the 24 Hours of Daytona, and he's just like hanging out, and he's like, "Oh, if you want to." Go, you know, here's the Porsche. You want to drive it? And I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, no. I'm like, if it was a normal Porsche, maybe. This was a Porsche that was set up for racing.
Oh, my God. So you were like.
Yeah, it had the five-point harnesses in it. It had roll cage. It had, and he didn't actually make it road legal. He had to take, like, the rear deck off and put on the regular thing and put take the wheels off and put the regular wheels on. That thing was fast.
Oh, my God.
But he'd drive that thing around, and I'd be in it, and he'd be, like, tearing down the road, and I'm just, like, chilling out. And he's like, most people get freaked out. And I'm like, you know what you're doing. I mean, you're a professional driver. I raced Mario Andretti.
Yeah.
Your little Porsche scares me.
What is this?
Yeah.
What is it? I did Andretti.
Come on. Exactly. Yeah.
They wrote Fast and Furious about me.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Furious about me. Fast and Furious. With
I am Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
You know, you are bald.
Mm-hmm.
Or shaved.
I'm bald.
Vin Kurt.
Kurt Diesel.
Kurt Diesel. The next episode, we delve into Kurt's Fast and Furious sign.
Yes. On the next very special episode of the Primitive Intelligence Podcast.
Yes.
Kurt. I can't think of a funny way of saying that.
Kurt likes speed. That doesn't sound right.
That doesn't sound right at all. Actually, it's funny you say it, because like the other day I'm at work, and one of the supervisors, he's like, yeah, we gotta take it easier on these guys, because we're swamped. We are absolutely swamped. And he's like, he looks at me, he goes, he's going to have a crack fit. And I just stopped. I'm like, what the hell is that supposed to mean? He's like, you know, you're just going to like... You're going to crack. I'm like, you might want to reword that in a way that I don't have to go to HR and have a drug test. Because I'm not going to have a crack fit. That's not going to happen. I can guarantee you I will never have a crack fit.
Ever want to know what a crack fit is.
And he's like, but you know, just like you're going to snap. And I'm like, that's not a crack fit.
No, that's you're going to snap.
Yeah, I'm going to snap. You could just said that he's going to snap.
The next Fast and Courteous. There's a crack fit.
Fast and courteous. That's awesome.
It's to the limit.
Whew. On the next very special episode of Fast and Courteous. Kurt amps it up.
Again.
Rocco gets in touch with his inner child.
And he fights back.
Because he's fucked up. Kurt's fucked up.
Yeah, we're both fucked up.
See, apparently Stacy thinks we're fucked up.
I agree with that.
I do too.
I'm not going to disagree.
Completely both fucked up.
Good.
Yeah.
It's all
good.
Yes.
I'm
wrong with it. Which is why we're friends.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I've known that for a long, long time.
Because normal people suck.
They do.
I don't know if anybody out there listens, but
No, you're not. You're not normal.
Normal people are really weird.
Yeah, we would not be. You know, you would not be here if you were normal.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, where is we going to be hanging out?
No. You're an artist, too, so...
Yeah. I had no idea that was your work.
Pointing to a painting on the wall.
Yeah, yes.
Yes, you've been... You've had an exhibit at Chelsea in New York, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
My teachers... Yeah. My professors that taught me couldn't get
right.
So we should be having you do the episode artwork.
No, I'm just. I say I'm an artist because I feel the urge, like you felt the urge to write that down. I feel the urge to take a paintbrush, but I'm trained also. Like I went to school for it. I learned how to manipulate light and shadow and.
But not anybody can do that. I mean, I took art classes and they tried to teach me how to do that, and I'm like.
But I also have had. I've had so much luck, and I've had a lot of shows, and you know I hate the art community, Rock. You know, before one of my shows, I'll get upset because I don't want to deal with the black turtlenecks,
the goatees, the hats, the hey daddy-o.
Oh my God.
No offense to anyone out there.
No offense,
man. What's your inspiration? What did you, oh my God, tell me, oh my God, let me in there. And I'm like, I took a photo. I was at the beach. I just liked the way the light was hitting the water. Took a photo, thought it was interesting, thought I'll paint that later.
Nice.
End of story. Yeah. Like there's that's the way it should be. Deeper in there beside the fact that I love to do it and it takes me away.
I'm sure some people have this massive inspiration. Whatever it is. And they sit down and spend massive amounts of hours to try to figure out something. But in my opinion, when you create, it's as simple as that. You create.
Yeah.
You sit down and something happens.
I went to college and I just wanted to paint. And
you could only manipulate creation so much.
Yeah,
you either have the talent or you don't. I mean, they can only teach you so much about that. So,
yeah, I had a not an epiphany, a revelation, but we don't need to
get amped up
your pod at and your podcast.
Pod at
pod ass.
Pod.
You got a little pod ass going on. That sounds like you might need a doctor.
Were we amped up?
No, but the moment that I had when I was 18 and I literally could have died and said, I lived my life. I fulfilled my meaning on this planet.
Maybe you should have a podcast just for that.
No, but I don't want to talk about it, but because it would be too long of a story.
Hmm.
But art is subjective. Art is whatever anybody wants it to be. I just hate when people... When people talk a lot... When people talk more, when it comes to visual arts, let me just put it like that. When it comes to visual arts, painting, sculpture,
when it comes to art,
if people talk too much, they have less talent. The more you talk, the less talent you have. That's the bottom line. People that show up at the shows, and I've seen the same people, some of the shows, it's, what are you doing? Are you creating? Are you doing something? Or are you... just here in a turtleneck acting like you're doing something. I removed myself from the art community for a while, and you know I did because I couldn't take it.
These are the same people.
I couldn't take the gallery owners. I couldn't take the people. Just the nonsense, the fake nonsense.
They would ask you things about what you're doing because they're looking for a response.
Yeah, but yet I said, whatever drove you to my painting in the first place... that's, you said, I want this in my show. That's enough for me. It's nothing deeper than that. You liked the image. It was across, you liked it. It sucked you in. Just because you looked across it, you thought it was beautiful the way it was done.
Right.
Technically, it was nice. That's enough for me. Because there's really nothing more into it than that. There's technique of years of training. There's just... and then the need to do it, which I guess makes me an artist. But
yes and no. I will say one thing that I've said before, and you've heard me say it, is that you have this ability to capture this moment. People, everyone out there has had a moment where they disappear. Whatever the fuck they're thinking about, they disappear. And when they come back, they're looking at something. There's an image that they're looking at. Doesn't matter what the image is. It happens to every single person on this planet, probably every single day.
Yeah, and probably a couple times too for most people.
But Stacy has this ability to paint that image. And I can't really explain it more than that. Is that when... you're in that situation as a human. you snap out of whatever the hell you're thinking of, and a lot of times you don't remember what you're thinking of, because most of the time you're venting or your brain is trying to figure something out, and it's doing itself a favor by working these issues out. And when it comes back to reality, it always, the mind and the eyes and the brain focus on something of beauty. It doesn't matter if it's cosmetically beautiful or, urbanly beautiful. It could be graffiti. It could be a butterfly. It doesn't really matter, but it's this one image. And that's what she's got, this gift of capturing that one instance.
When you said that to me, this was years ago, it actually blew my mind. Because it's not like it's intentional. I just saw something, I had a thought, and wanted to photograph it, and then later paint it. But you're right, like, my images are something that maybe that one, somebody was just, had a thought, they lost somebody, or they just looked off into space for a minute, or they were happy, or they were sad.
She's referring to this painting, and I don't know the name. Honestly, what's the name of that painting? Because I know I call it something that's not the name.
What do you call it?
I always think of it as like raindrops or droplets. Yeah. I don't know. I actually don't know what the name of it is.
I think you're confusing it with another painting I did.
That's what I like to call raindrops. Yeah, but I like to call this one raindrops.
My mother has it in her house.
It's the picture we're speaking of. Is a I don't want to say it's a mooring. It's a pylon. It's a piece of wood driven into a lake or a body of water, and it's just got ripples of water all around it. But the way it's painted is something that just draws you right in.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a painting of yours. And I was still walked on it. I'm like, I really like that. Where'd you get that? He's like, Stacy made that. I was like,
wow. I'll have to show you my portfolio.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But I don't know. When you told me that, it was just so beautifully put, because it felt like it gave me a purpose. Like, people have always liked the images I've done, and I've been blessed because of that, but you actually gave it more meaning than I even gave it. You know what I mean?
Well.
Like, I've had success. I've sold a lot of stuff. I've had shows because I think people buy them because, oh my God, it matches my couch. And that's fine. That's fine. They can do that.
That pay explains me, why I haven't sold much poetry.
Pay me my $500 and that is fine. It matches your couch. Put it over your couch. And congratulations. But the one time in my life when I was 18, now I'm going to talk about it. I was a student and I was at a local college, and I went to another college for 2 years because I didn't think I wanted college. I just wanted to paint. I went to school for 2 years. It was only a two-year art school, so I had to move on. I thought, bachelor's degree, you can't get anywhere without that. So I went to the next school. I was there for a semester, and my painting professor came to me one day. Never came to me, ever, throughout the entire semester, 6 months. Would go to this person, talk about their work. Mm-hmm. Go to this person, talk about their work. Never came to me one-on-one, wanted to talk to me. Like, why are you creating this? Let's discuss. Never. So finally, the one day, after 6 months, he takes me outside and he says, can I talk to you? I said, please. I've been waiting for you to talk to me. You're my teacher. He said, you're my student, and I've been trying to do my entire life what you have done here in 6 months. So I cannot teach you.
Wow.
So congratulations. And I go, I don't understand what you mean. And he said, he goes, if you hung one of your paintings up in a sea of a million paintings, I'd go right to it and say, that's Stacy's.
He goes, I could do that too.
I'm still trying to do that. He said, I'm like 50, whatever, some years old. I've been painting since I'm 12. I'm still trying to do that. So I'm going to let you do your thing. And I go, okay. So they had this thing at Marywood, I said the school, but works of the month, which was awesome, where they hung sculpture, ceramic, anything. it just, it was like a little mini show. Yeah. So it got you involved with gallery life and everything like that. So every year I was there, I had a painting in this thing, which is still a record at the school, which was awesome. Like, I still, every month I had something new there. And they try to recircle different kids and different everything else. But anyway, I don't mean to brag, but it was a blessing. Like, I had a painting in there every month. Well, one particular month, I have a painting in there. And it's there for a month. I go to take it down. The person at the desk stops me and says, "Stacy, there was somebody here that would come, and we need to talk to your teacher, and they want to buy it." Because student works were never for sale. Nobody, you could come in, we would have little shows, cheese, wine, crackers, the whole thing. Cheese, wine, the whole thing, but you could never sell anything. It was your works, you were building your portfolio. No money was to be exchanged. So the girl at the desk said to me, "Stacy, but this woman came every day for a month and sat on a bench in front of your painting for an hour every day at the same time every day." So she said, she asked me if it was for sale. So she goes, "Normally this doesn't happen. So I think we need to talk to your professor and work something out." So I said, okay. I don't know who this woman is, but okay, she can have it. I don't care. So the painting comes down. We talk to my teacher. He says, "Well, we're not allowed to sell anything." He was very adamant. "Stacy, you can't sell this. This is part of your senior exhibit. We can't sell this." I go, "Well, I'll paint something else. I don't care." Yeah. So I went back to the girl at the desk, got the lady's information, went through her, and arranged for this woman to pick up the painting. I never met her. I just said, "She can have it. I don't care how much, she can have it." So she gets my phone number, and she says, "I need this." I said, her name was Jane. I said, "Jane, you can have it. It's there. It's for you. You can have it." And she goes, "No, I need to pay you." I said, "Well, no, you can have it." She goes, "Stacy, please, I am 60 years old. I go to galleries. I go to openings all the time. I love art. My entire life, since I'm young, I've never seen anything I needed to buy until I saw your painting."
Oh, my God.
And I went, "Jane, so it's free, okay?" So she goes, "Stacy, it's not free." And I go, I don't know what to say. She goes, "Your supplies, you're this or that." So we're trying to add it up.
Yeah.
And I go, "Jane, $100. $100. You can, I'm sorry about my phone. I forgot to shut it off. $100, you can buy my painting." She goes, "Okay." She buys it, it's gone. She left a check with the girl. I never met her. Literally 6 months later, 6 or 7 months later, senior exhibit. We have a huge show. Everybody that's graduating that year, everything's on exhibit. It was wonderful. The gallery was humongous. It was a great, great opening. I'm all the way at the back. My paintings are all the way at the back. And I see this woman through, I don't know how many people, hundreds of people were there. I see this woman through the crowd. She looks at me, and I look at her. I knew it was Jane. I can't even describe it. I knew it was her. We cut our way through the crowd, and she goes, "Stacy." And I go, "Jane." And we hugged. And I cried, and I sobbed, and I go, "Jane.
I had my great tear up."
I go, "Jane, why? Why? Why my painting?"
Yeah.
"I don't understand." And she said, "Stacy, my husband had passed away recently. They had a lake house." She said, "We used to sit out on a bench, look over the lake, the moon." It was called Moonlight Painting. I still have a photo of it, whatever, the painting. And she said, "And your painting took me there. It took me to him. It took me." She said, "It was exactly the same image that I saw when I would sit there with my husband at night. And she goes, "And I would have paid," she goes, "You said $100, I would have paid $1 million. She said, "Just so you know." And that was it. And I still have the check hanging on my wall, never cashed. I told her I was never going to cash it. Even though I was a starving artist, I was a student.
I wouldn't young. Either. That's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do as an artist.
I thought I connected with somebody that I have never met on such a level I can't even begin to imagine.
But see that?
I felt like my life was fulfilled at like 18 years old or however old I was so young.
That's the human experience.
But to know who she was through that crowd, to know it was her.
But that's what it's, to me, that is what human is all about. To connect with somebody on that level, and you don't really know anything about them.
Yeah.
You have no idea, really.
Yeah.
And yet...
It was a painting of a lake and some rocks and moonlight hitting the lake. To me, it sounds simple, I guess, but to her, it was...
Everything.
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 Well, it's just that thing that just happened to be her thing, you know? It just happened to be something that she could relate to, and that's basically what art is. I mean, all it takes is that one person that connects with.
I mean, aesthetically, it's pleasing, or it matches, or it does this or that, but she was the one person who I felt really who bought something.
But I think
really
that's
more
what,
than
what,
matching her
what
drapes.
Really sums it up is that there are people who want art that are aesthetically pleasing. It doesn't matter what art, music, film, poetry, paintings, it doesn't matter. But there are some people who don't really care that it's art. All they see is that it's a piece of themselves that they didn't know or that they lost and now they're finding.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you'll never really know the intention of somebody's heart. You can have this crazy, insane painting hanging up and you'll never know unless you actually ask the artist. It's subjective. It's your own interpretation. Unless you ask the artist, what exactly were you thinking at this time? Whether it's a poem or a song or whatever.
You really can never know.
No.
And even really the artist doesn't know.
No.
I mean, there's songs I've written that I knew what they were about when I wrote them, and I listen to them now, and I go, well, that wasn't what it was about at all. It was about, you know, this, you know.
It's one of the things I like about writing my shit, is that I write something for what I see, and then other people look at it and they're like, it means this, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that's what it means to you. Yeah,
this is that one. There was one poem I have that everybody is like, this means death. I'm like, it's not what I had, but okay. Yeah. And somebody else would be like, this means this. I'm like, no, all right.
It means art should mean what the viewer thinks it means.
Exactly. Yeah,
it shouldn't have anything to do with the artist.
But it should
except
have,
for what they think it means.
Or whatever they need it to mean.
It should have so much passion that something happens. And it doesn't really matter what happens. It's the fact that something happens. Because you see everything in everyday life. And it's commonplace. It's nothing ever is important. But for something that happens and it's important that makes you strive to figure out what that is, that is very important. For something, no matter what it is, to make you search yourself and search others, it's very important that you grasp onto those items.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take over so much of the podcast.
You didn't take
honestly,
over.
No, it's I fun. Apologize. I don't know. We got to talk about art, I get crazy.
It's but I think at that we should wrap up this very special episode.
Yeah.
Of the Primitive Intelligence Podcast. Rocco got in touch with his child. Wait a second, that didn't sound
he's
right.
Filing.
Guys,
he's
not
filing
touching
something.
Children. He got in touch with his inner child.
In the past.
Yeah.
In the 70s right now, I'm contacting somebody. Sorry. And this broadcast has been brought to you by water. It's the stuff that life is made out of. Anyway.
And beer.
And beer.
And wine and bourbon.
And wine and bourbon.
And very emotional conversations about nothing.
Very deep.
Except for ourselves.
Very deep episode. Kind of. I don't know. I really didn't say much this week.
No. I was talking my ass off.
You were.
I apologize.
A little chatty.
I was too
chatty.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I'm not concerned.
Gotta blame the bourbon. It's been a long week. And I apparently had stuff to talk about. So.
Yeah. That's why we do this.
Yeah.
I was burnt anyway. My brain was shot from dealing with the state all day.
How long? How many hours?
Oh, I don't even remember.
An hour?
More than that.
2 hours?
2 hours, maybe. And then coming home, trying to figure out what was going on.
It's like
standing in line for 2 hours is a lot.
At the DMV.
It's like
6 hours. Yeah, 3 days.
Terrible.
It's horrible. So
how long we got now for this episode? And a half.
An hour and 26 minutes and 13 seconds. That's pretty good. But we did have some dead air there while you were fidgeting with your tongue ring and doing that stuff.
Sorry. I can't really talk sometimes. It gets caught up. I can't help it. And I was, the things of youth that you do.
You know what's funny, though? As I was getting the bonus episode ready.
Okay, what, corner?
No.
If you could see the look on his face. Anyway, the bonus episode.
We started trying to shut that down.
The bonus episode.
The bonus episode. Yeah. Like 20 minutes before we actually signed off. We're like, all right, well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Yes. And then we can start talking about this. And we start, and it's like, oh, that's good. Then we're going to just, okay, we're going to.
Well, you could chop this in half if you want, or not.
Just an hour and a half. Uh-huh. It's not bad. Over 2 hours, that was a long episode. There's no set format to what we do, so it's not.
I hope not.
Yeah.
Because apparently I'm breaking all kinds of shit because I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. But that's okay. But dinner's been on the table for almost an hour. So, yeah, it's probably time to wrap this up.
Anyway, this episode has been brought to you by artists.
Rocco's Feminine Side.
No, that's wrong. Jesus Christ.
By Red Bull.
Red Bull. Amped up.
This has been brought to you by me running my mouth because I'm really not running my mouth. Because
you stepped it up a notch.
Oh.
You took it to the limit.
Jesus Christ. Took it to the limit.
You were in a log cabin in the winter.
Jesus. I lived in a log cabin.
Come on.
Apparently, this has been brought to you by something that I don't want to be brought anymore because...
We don't have sponsors.
Yeah, it has. It's been brought to you by bringing shit to the limit. That's what it's been brought to you by.
Sorry, I automatically go to Rocky.
In a 1980s montage.
Exactly.
Yeah. This has been brought to you by the 1980s.
Yes.
And every montage you can do.
In epiphanies.
And if you've never had a 1980s montage, you really should work one into your life.
Yeah, I recommend it.
I recommend it. Because unless you've had one, it's kind of boring.
Yeah. The montages put epiphanies to shame.
If you want an epiphany, it really only happens in a montage.
The shops at montage?
No, Lisa.
Different montage. Okay.
And thank you for listening.
Yes. And as always, you can contact us at...
I don't remember.
You can't remember.
What do you want me to remember? Yeah. Shit for? It's
podcast
Friday.
At primitiveintelligence.com.
Podcast at primitiveintelligence.com.
Good night.
Oh. Okay, we're going to do it that way then.
Podcast.
At primitiveintelligence.com.
And if you want to share something about anything weird that happened to you or epiphanies you had.
I would like to do like a paranormal episode. Get some stories from people on paranormal stuff.
All right.
That'd be fun.
We could always...
Because we just go off on all kinds of tangents on it.
We could always take this on a road and find somewhere haunted.
That'd be cool.
Like, we can't do the thing on West Mountain because there's really nothing left. But we could find something to do.
Oh, there's all kinds of stuff around here. Find something. That'd be pretty cool.
If anyone else has anything to offer, please shoot us a line.
Stories. Shoot us a line. Drop us a line. We went over there. Yeah, shoot us a note.
Send us an email.
Yeah. Get in touch with us. It's easy.
Don't paint us a picture because that might take a lot of time if we have to interpret that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Stacy's going to interpret it.
Yeah,
she's. I don't know nothing about that.
She's a resident art critic.
I will not interpret.
Okay.
Good night.
Night, and peace anywhere you want to. Peace in the
peace
southeast.
Peace in Russia because they're crazy.
See, I had to say that once, everybody, and now all of a sudden it's like I'm like BJ and the Bear. It's like my handle.
I've never heard you say peace in the Middle East before.
Yeah,
just came out.
You're like, because I'm a funny son of a bitch, and that was
peace
funny.
Out. Peace in the Middle East.
Okay. All right. Yeah. True that, yo.
True that, yo.
True that,
I guess it's. All right, let's see.
See you next week.
Later. Bye.